that you were inspired, encouraged, and led to a deeper walk with God with host pastor Reverend Eugene Stevenson. New Jerusalem is located at 708 University Street in Alexandria. Service times are Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and Wednesday Bible study is at 5 p.m. New Beulah Baptist Church is located at 908 Carlos Street in Boyce, Louisiana, and service times are every second and fourth Sunday at 8:15 a.m. Until the next time, may God bless you and keep you is our prayer.
KAYT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.
Good morning. Welcome to the Johnson Temple broadcast on KAYT. On behalf of our pastor, Superintendent Maurice Johnson, we would like to thank you for being a faithful listener down through the years. You are invited to join us as we celebrate Superintendent Maurice Johnson for 44 years of service to Johnson Temple, Leesville, Fort Polk, and the surrounding communities. This celebration starts with a worship service on Friday, May the 1st at 7 o'clock p.m. and will continue on Saturday, May the 2nd at 6 o'clock p.m. with a celebration musical featuring the men of spiritual flavor from Alexandria, Louisiana, Glenn Riley and the United Vision Chorale from Beaumont, Texas, and Dr. Corey and Michelle Dobson from Lake Charles, Louisiana. The finale takes place on Sunday, May the 3rd, with our special guest being Dr. Mark Ellis, pastor of the United Christian Faith Ministries, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Dr. Ellis is also the president of the International Sunday School Department of the Church of God in Christ. Wednesday, May the 22nd, 11:30 a.m. to 1 o'clock p.m., we are serving Leesville and surrounding communities through our Feed the Hungry program. During this event, perishable and non-perishable food items, along with a hot meal, are offered to individuals in need regardless of financial status, and volunteers are always welcome. In today's broadcast, you will hear a powerful message preached during the Alexandria District Revival on Friday, January the 30th, by Pastor Eugene Miller, Jr., pastor of the Citadel Church of Alexandria, Louisiana. May God bless and keep you is our prayer.
Let me read this foundational portion for our text. Philippians 2, 14 through 15. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We're dealing with that every day. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Lord, thank you for the word as we go forth in your word, and help me to preach this word in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a supernatural command from a man who understood that his destiny was not determined by his circumstances, but by his alignment with God's purposes. The man who had every reason to complain, as we do, is commanding us not to complain in this very hour. Why? Because Paul discovered that complaining breaks your alignment with heaven and aborts your assignment on earth. Paul is chained to a prison, who's a prison guard for about 24/7. Every day he's sitting in the Mamertine prison in a hole that is carved out of solid rock beneath the city of Rome. He's facing possible execution. His ministry seems finished, but here's what Paul understood. Your assignment does not stop when your circumstances change. As long as you stay in alignment, as long as you're with God and you're in his will, you will be just fine. Understand that Paul knew he had unfinished business, and nothing was going to stop him from answering the call of God. From this place of despair, he writes the most joyful letter in the New Testament. When you're aligned with God's purposes, hear me what I'm saying. Your assignment transcends your adversity. From chains, he writes about freedom. From darkness, he writes about light. Why? Because he had work to do and unfinished business to complete. And if God did it for Paul, guess what? Look to somebody and say, he can do it for you. So let me paint this picture for you. Of Paul's situation when he wrote to Philippians. This wasn't a comfortable house arrest. Paul was in the Mamertine prison in Rome, a dungeon carved out of solid rock. And in this place that he was in, it was dark, it was damp, it was deplorable. He was chained to Roman guards for 4-hour shifts, 24-hour days. But here's the paradox of this situation. From his place of despair, Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. He says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am in to be content. That's not natural for anybody to be in a desolate situation, an uncomfortable situation, a place to where I feel like there's no other where to the place to go. But in this moment, Paul challenged us to be content where we were. That's not natural. That's supernatural. That's a man who understood that his assignment transcended his circumstances. Paul discovered something while he was in prison. He discovered that his assignment was going to determine how he moved about in God's kingdom. Oftentimes we get too complacent. We begin to grumble. We begin to murmur. We begin to complain. And it's something that we're complaining about that we don't even need to complain about. Look at your circumstances where you are. It could have been you. It should have been you. But God saw fit to keep you just another day. You have a roof over your head. You have clothes on your back. But you have the mitigated audacity to complain about what you don't have when God has already supplied every one of your needs according to his riches which are in glory. I have to understand that even in my days, in the coldest days, in the wettest days, we're driving in our cars. There's people who don't even have a car and they're walking. But we have the audacity and the mitigated gall to complain. We murmur and we bring up fuss about things that we need not to be complaining about. Yet instead of complaining, you need to be giving God the praise. Lord, I thank you for being able to see the rain. Lord, I thank you for being able to see another day. Lord, I thank you to have feeling. Lord, I thank you to be able to move. But yet and still, what is it that we do? We complain. The things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. This is what Paul is saying. What the enemy meant to stop in my assignment, God is using to spread it. My chains have become a platform. My prison has become my pulpit. The Roman guard who was supposed to silence him became his congregation. The prison that was supposed to stop his ministry became his seminary. Saints, I want you to know on this day, if Paul can fulfill his assignment in prison, you can fulfill your assignment with your own problems. So now let me break this down about Paul's attitude in his arsenal. The weapons he used to overcome his complaining and stay aligned with his assignment. Paul had a divine alignment protocol that kept him connected to heaven. Even in the midst of it, he was connected to heaven even when hell was breaking loose. The first weapon that he had was to pray over panic. When Paul could have panicked, he prayed. Philippians 4 and 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, not some things, not a few things, not the comfortable things, but it says in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to beg and I'm going to plead unto God. Lord, save me. Lord, take me out of this situation. I'm going to continue to pray instead of complain. I know what it looks like. I know what it sounds like. I know what it feels sounds like, but guess what? I have the power. I have the opportunity to pray to God to change it. How many of you know that prayer changes things? We've got to do more praying than complaining. Look to your neighbor and say, I've got to pray more. I've got to pray more. Here's the principle. Complaining is just prayer to the wrong audience. I get sick and tired every day when you come into a room and you have somebody that's complaining about nothing, meaningless and frivolous matters. It's something wrong every time. The cat ate too much food. The wind is blowing too hard. The sanctuary is too cold. Now the sanctuary is too hot. The lights are too bright. The music is too loud. I don't like the way she sings. I don't like the way she walks. Stop complaining and be grateful. How about you get out of your seat and do something about it? What am I going to do? I'm going to get up in the choir. I'm going to try to make a difference. Well, instead of being focused on frivolous things, how about if you open your mouth, raise your hands, and praise God and not be worried about what's going around you? We pay more attention to people rather than praising God. We spend more time complaining. We spend more time murmuring. We spend more time having an attitude in the wrong position. If there's somebody you want to get mad at the devil. But we spend too much time being mad at one another. I'm sick and tired of coming to church just to come to church. I didn't drive all the way from Alexandria to sit and watch you looking like you've been sucking on lemons all day. I didn't come out of the world into the church to deal with what I'm dealing with on this day. Had it been like this, I could have stayed where I was at. There ought to be a difference when I come into the house of the Lord. We've got to get out of religious traditions. We've got to get out of the systematic approach of just coming to church just to come to church. I come to church for an expectance. I come to church to be renewed. I come to church to be revived. I come to church to be refilled. I come to church to be reminded of who died on that cross for your sins and for my sins, who hung high, who was stretched wide, who bled for you and I, for he is the one who died for our sins. And you have the audacity to come to church day in and day out. You complain about the three-day revival. Well, I got news flash. When I was coming up, we had a week-long revival. We came at 7 o'clock. We didn't look at the time. Half of you hungry right now trying to think about what you're about to eat when you leave from here. We didn't have the time to spend wasting on what we're about to do outside of church. We came to church with an expectancy. We came to church to make a difference in ourselves. Why? Because we surrender. We say these things about, yes, Lord, I say yes to my Lord, for he's done great things. We sing all these old songs, but do we understand the meaning and the content behind them? When I say yes, Lord, yes to your will and yes to your way, I trust you, Lord. I obey you, God. And what do? We sit on them. Just imagine if God sat down on you. Every time you opened your mouth to want something, he said, well, no, I'm not going to do it. Lord, I need you to make a way out of no way. He turns a deaf ear. Lord, I need you to heal my body. He lets you remain sick. But yet and still, like Paul, out of everything he'd been through, he still had joy. The second weapon that was there, praise over problems. Even in prison, Paul was praising God because praise protects your purpose and preserves your alignment. Acts 16 tells us that at midnight, you know the story, it wasn't in the noonday, it wasn't when it was bright outside. It wasn't in comfortable conditions. It says, for at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and they sang praises. And in their praise, hallelujah, glory to God, it shook the prison and it set them free. Back in the day when we were in revival, when we were in church, we used to praise God so hard, but we don't do that anymore. We used to fall on our face. We used to sing our songs. We used to dance till we couldn't dance anymore. Then it began to get thick inside the sanctuary. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you begin to look up and it look like there's a haze inside. It looks foggy. It looks smoky inside. That was the glory of God. But we're too focused now on the money to operate the church. We're too focused now on what we're going to wear when we go to church. I was just telling my wife, I said, I wish the church was like the church back in the 80s with Bishop Ford, with Bishop Patterson. They came with an expectancy. We didn't have the lights and the fanfare. We didn't have all of the things that we have now. That's a distraction. We're more so concerned now about who's coming, how they're coming. Back in the day, the bishops now, they're almost esteemed as high as God. You can't touch them. You can't look at them. You can't get to them. They can't come to your church unless you polish the bishop's pocket. I might get in trouble and I don't care. You think it and I'm saying it. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get to church, but I don't want to go to church because I can't afford to go to church. It costs too much. I pay my report. I give my offering. You try to make me feel convicted because you can give 500 and all I can do is give my five. And then you're begging and pleading for me to give up everything that I've worked hard for. You want to try to manipulate me while you get in your nice fancy car. You go to your house. You know how you're going to eat. Your bills are paid. But we have saints who come to church day in and day out for an expectancy. But what do? You disobey God. The Bible says, quench not the spirit. But now in convocations, we have it to where we'd rather silence God to raise an offering. So now this is the hour that we complain because I'm trying to get my breakthrough. But in the midst of me trying to get my breakthrough, because you're not feeling it, I'm not feeling it. I don't want to be here today. So you shut it down. The saints are trying to get revived. Mother's trying to get her breakthrough. Her son is sick and she's praying on his behalf. But the only thing you could think about is yourself. So who the son sets free is free indeed. Praise is the language of destiny. Praise keeps you in alignment with heaven even when earth is falling apart. The third weapon, purpose over pain. Paul never lost sight of his purpose. He writes, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. When your purpose is bigger than your pain, you'll find strength that you didn't know you had all along. When your alignment with heaven is stronger than your attachment to earth, you will tap into the power you never knew was available. The fourth weapon, people over self-pity. Even in prison, Paul was thinking about others. The entire book of Philippians is him encouraging them. When you're focused on blessing others, it's a blessing to be a blessing. I told my wife and I tell others, if I can, I will. If I can bless somebody, I'm going to bless somebody. I'm not concerned about what you think. If you think I'm doing it for show, I don't care about your thoughts. I don't care what you look like. I don't care how you feel. This is between me and the God that I serve. And the problem is today, we don't have relationship. We're focused on religion. When you have your relationship, hello somebody, you will do everything that you've got to do. I will give the clothes off my back. I'm the type of person, if somebody say, I like that suit, if I got a robe in the back, I'll put the robe on and I'll give you the suit. I've given so many tithes from off of the pulpit. I've given my last. I've given until I couldn't give any more than people have the audacity to say, you're crazy. No, I'm blessed. That's why I'm still standing. That's why I'm thankful. It could have been me, but it wasn't me. You know why? Because I bless people. Not only do I bless people, I bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth, no matter what it looks like, no matter how it sounds. Yes, I'm going to continue to give God the praise. So when you're focused on blessing others, you don't have time to feel sorry for yourself. And you stay in alignment with God's purpose. So I've said all that to say that now I've come to my text, and I promise you I won't hold you much longer. Philippians, the second chapter, 14 through 15. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. This is a prescription for fulfilling your assignment and maintaining your alignment. Let's break this down for a moment, if you will. Because every word matters. Do all things, not some things, not the easy things, but the Bible declares to do all things. Paul is saying there's no situation where complaining is justified, because complaining aborts your assignment, and as I said earlier, it breaks your alignment with heaven. Without murmurings, the Greek word is gasgagmos, muttering under your breath. How many of you murder under your breath? Yes, you do. You did it before you got here. And some of you are doing it right now. You're muttering under your breath. You're grumbling. It's the same word used for the children of Israel who were in the wilderness. They were murmuring and complaining. A whole generation died in the desert because of their murmuring. How it aborted their assignment and it broke their alignment with God's purposes. And disputings. Stop arguing with God about your assignment. If God has called you to do something, it's best for you to obey God. Because I promise you, God has a way that will get your attention, that will cause you to do things that you've never done before. What is it? I'm glad you asked. To look to the hills from whence cometh your help. To know that all of your help comes from God. To put you on your back. To knock you out of your condition. To put you in position to call on him. So that you can have your transition to do the things of God. What are the things of God? The assignment that he has given you. How dare you come to church day in and day out and you question God? You can't question God in the sense to get an understanding of how he operates. For his thoughts are not our thoughts. For his ways are not our ways. So I just yield you to obey God in this present hour. I've got to obey God. I've got to stop complaining. I've got to stop murmuring. I've got to trust his plan. Even when I can't see my way out, I've got to know that he has me. He's got me. He's been with me all the time. That's the attitude that protects your destiny, and it maintains your alignment with heaven. The result, that may be where it says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. Your attitude becomes your testimony. Your alignment with heaven becomes your authority. And here's the ultimate purpose. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You were created to shine. You were created for a purpose. Let your light so shine. You've got to be in position to open up your heart. You walk around with hardened hearts. You walk around with sour patch face. You walk around with nasty attitudes. You always got an attitude. You always complaining about something. He didn't pick me. Why did he pick her? Why didn't he do it on this day? All you do is complain. Now you're putting my light out. You're messing up my vibe. You're killing my energy. You've got to change some things about yourself. I don't want to be around you anymore. I'm glad to see you leaving. I hate to see you coming. I get tired of coming into a place to where when I walk into the house of God and I see the saints of God, all they do is complain. All they do is murmur. But let me show you the dramatic contrast between Saul's attitude and Paul's attitude. Because this transformation reveals how understanding your assignment and getting in alignment changes everything. Before conversion, Saul was full of complaints about the early church, completely out of alignment with God's purposes. His complaints led to violence and destruction. Why? Because Saul was operating outside of his assignment, fighting against his destiny. But after that transformation on the road to Damascus, Paul's attitude was completely transformed. Instead of complaining about problems, he looked for opportunities. Instead of seeing obstacles, he saw new doors that began to open for his destiny. Instead of being out of alignment, he became the model of divine positioning. In 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, Paul lists everything he went through, how he was beaten, how he was stoned, how he was shipwrecked, in perils, in hunger, and in cold. But Paul doesn't list these as complaints. He lists them as credentials for his assignment and proof of his alignment. He's saying, look at what God has done. Look where he's brought me from. He's brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Look where he's brought me from. Look how adversity advances assignment. Look how I stayed in alignment. The same man who once complained now says, I now have to glorify my God. I glorify my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He says, all things work together for the good of them that love God and who are the called according to his purpose. Paul understood he had an assignment and the alignment with God's will. Paul learned the secret. Contentment is understanding that everything you're going through is preparing you for your assignment while keeping you in alignment with God's purposes. He writes, I have learned in whatsoever state that I am therewith to be content. Notice, I have learned. I have learned. So if Paul had learned it, you can learn it too. Paul calls this generation crooked and perverse. But if Paul thought this generation was crooked, what would we say about ours? If he thought his back then was messed up, what is ours right now? In Paul's day, they had idol worship. We have social media worship. We have a moral decay. We have moral confusion where right is called wrong. Our generation is crooked with high-speed internet, perverse with smartphones, spreading negativity at the speed of light. But here's what you need to understand. God is specifically assigning you to this generation and has positioned you for alignment in this very moment. You weren't born to be an accident. God looked at this crooked generation and he said on this day, I need somebody with the right attitude to shine in that darkness. I need somebody who understands their assignment and stays in alignment with the purpose of God. We live in the most complaining generation that's in history on today. We complain about everything. We've got Twitter fingers and we've got Instagram attitudes. We post our problems for the world to see. And in all this complaining, we've lost our alignment with heaven up above. And in the crooked generation, God's people are supposed to shine as lights, and that only happens when you're in alignment. We're not supposed to blend in. We're supposed to stand out. We're supposed to live holy. We're supposed to live righteous. Because we stand for our assignment in a world that's full of negativity, we're supposed to be positive because we know our purpose and we're in alignment. The world is watching how we handle our problems. When you complain like the world, you dim your light and you break your alignment. But when you maintain joy in the midst of your trials, when you keep praising God, when everything is falling apart, when you refuse to let your circumstances break your alignment, that's when your light shines the brightest. That's when your assignment becomes most effective. Your attitude is evangelism and your alignment is your authority. You were assigned to this generation to be a light. You were positioned, designed, and placed to be the divine alignment to change the world. So right now, church, this is